listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sakowitz. Co-hosting with me, Graziano Marcheschi, the Program Director for Development of Ministerial Resources for the Archdiocese of Chicago. New position, new title. Graz, good morning.
Good morning.
And maybe explain to our listeners the new position. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. What does it mean? We're figuring that out. Actually, though, it's kind of exciting. Give me an opportunity to poke my finger in a lot of different pies, working with media, working with developing resources to help people do ministry in a more effective way, whether at the parish level, whether at the diocesan level. So I'll be working with Bishop Kane, developing Associations of the Christian Faithful, which is a new emerging lay ministry within the church. Right now I'm going to be working with the Office for Protection of God's Children, developing some videos with evangelization, helping them with their Catholics Come Home materials, working at liturgy training publications, developing materials there. So it's going to be kind of an eclectic position.
So really, now, it sounds like a very involved position with a lot of different hats within the position.
You know, and that's exactly what I do well. That's what I like to do, and praise be to God, I get the chance to do it.
We've been with the Archdiocese of Chicago for how many years?
18.
God bless you. God bless you. Our prayers are with you as you begin your new position as the Program Director for Development of Ministerial Resources. And time in Chicago is 9:02. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Graz, did you see the Bear game last night?
I did not.
You missed nothing. In fact, I wouldn't give last night's game to watch as penance.
You're kidding.
It was pathetic.
It was that bad.
Oh, it was.
And I thought they were on
Jay Cutler. Surprised they didn't kill him in terms of. It was bad.
So that means if I go on Craigslist to get some tickets, I won't pay as much as I would have last week.
No, you will. Here's the thing. No, you would, because if you would have told me after 1 month the Bears would be 3-1. We'd all be delighted. So the Bears are having a great season so far, and just was a bad game last night.
Yeah.
We do want to get to the main topic. First of all, again, our phone number, 312-255-8408, on Relevant Radio 950, Catholic Community of Faith. And St. Mary the Annunciation in Mundelein will hold a one-day retreat featuring renowned Catholic speaker Matthew Kelly. He is a New York Times bestselling author and an extremely engaging speaker, an outstanding speaker. One evening last September, St. Mary hosted Matthew Kelly for a crowd of more than 1,000 people. He will now return on Saturday, October 23rd, to offer one of the very first one-day parish retreats entitled Living Each Day with Passion and Purpose. Matthew Kelly, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
You know, 1,000 people is a lot for any audience, but with Catholics, that's astounding.
People are hungry. People are hungry.
Amen.
And the thing is now, tell us something about this retreat coming up, Matthew, Living Each Day with Passion and Purpose. I mean, just the very wording, living each day, one day, a gift at a time, and two beautiful words, passion and purpose. Talk about that.
Essentially, the main theme of the day is obviously living every day with passion and purpose, but the practical, how do we get to that? We spend a lot of time talking about how do we hear the voice of God in our lives, and how do we discern when we're hearing the voice of God in our lives, and how do we know when it's the voice of God and not just, you know, a voice in our heads or not just an idea that we're having. And so the theme of the day is basically how to live with passion and purpose. How to live with passion and purpose is by listening to the voice of God in our lives and following the voice of God in our lives and giving some people some practical insights about how to listen to God's voice in their life on a daily basis.
Matthew, how do you respond to people who ask that very question that you just mentioned? Is it a voice in my head, or is it the voice of the Lord?
So we break it down in sort of several steps, and the first sort of really basic way is that, you know, God speaks to us all in what I call three pretty ordinary voices of God, or the three ordinary voices of God, which are legitimate need, deepest desire, and talents and abilities. We all have legitimate needs, we all have deepest desires, and we all have talents and abilities, and God gave them to us. And so in a very practical, real way, God speaks to us through these things. The needs thing is pretty simple. If you don't eat, you'll die. God gave you a need to eat, and the voice of God is in that need. But we also have those legitimate needs in each of the four aspects of the human person, which is physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual. So, you know, the first step is let's listen to God on a really natural level. You know, Augustine said grace builds on nature. Let's listen to God on a really natural level. And then we talk about sort of process for listening to God, because, you know, some people just sit down and flip open the Bible and say, all right, God, speak to me, and sort of Bible roulette type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine, and maybe that works for some people, but I think when the going gets tough, if you don't have confidence in the process, you are not going to have confidence in what you hear. And so we have to create a process for listening. We have to create some processes for listening to God in our life and have confidence in those processes. And I think, you know, one really simple practical one I share with people all the time is, you know, if you have a question to lay before God, you know, set down the question and put yourself together a little bit of a journal. Put the question before God each day in prayer and write down what you feel God is saying to you. You know, and if God says you should do this thing 28 days in the month and 2 days of the month he says you shouldn't do this thing, you know, I think there's something in that. I think the other thing is that we're never going to be certain of the voice of God in our lives. We're never going to be certain, oh yes, God definitely wants me to do this. There is an aspect of a leap of faith involved. And so I think we have to do what we can before we take that leap of faith.
I appreciate your emphasis on the process and having confidence in it, because I think you're absolutely right. I mean, obviously, as in the life of the saint whose feast we celebrate today, Francis, occasionally God does work in extraordinary means. And, you know, he did stick his finger in the Bible and found some passages that set the course for the rest of his life. But for most of us, it doesn't work that way. And I think most of us, if we hear the voice of God, we may not recognize it because we're not in daily conversation with God. And, you know, when Jesus told us to be like sheep, he wasn't telling us to be mindless. You know, some people don't like that metaphor because they think, well, sheep are mindless. You know, they just follow. But I think the distinguishing characteristic of sheep is they know the voice of the shepherd. You know, you could have sheep from many different shepherds all in one pasture, and the shepherd would call his sheep, and they would know his voice and follow him. And I think that's what you're telling us, is that if we trust that process, if we get in that relationship with the Lord, then when he speaks, we'll know it.
Absolutely, and the process takes time and patience to develop.
And also, I think also Matthew said something very interesting, that is, I remember once I was leading prayer, and I said to this group of college seminarians, let us put ourselves in the presence of God. And the seminarian actually interrupted me at the start of the prayer and said, you know, excuse me, Father Greg, I don't mean to be, you know, telling you what to do, but he said, what you just said is wrong. And I said, what? And, you know, very commonly we'll say to people, let us put ourselves in the presence of God. And his response was, God is already present. We can choose to step away from the Lord, but what you should say, he said, is let us be aware of the presence of God already in our midst. I never thought of it that way. So when we tell people, let us put ourselves in the presence of God, you know, what I'm really assuming is that, you know, God has been absent, and now let's put ourselves in his presence, versus let us be aware of the presence of God already in our midst. And that talks, you're really talking about, you're talking about Matthew with your 3 points. We're going to go to break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Gratia Markeski. And our guest this first half hour, Matthew Kelly. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Call in with a question for our guest, Matthew Kelly, here on Relevant Radio 950. And do not touch that dial.
Faith, family, future. Be part of the 25th anniversary of the Office for Black Catholics. Hello, I'm Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Archdiocese of Chicago Office for Black Catholics.
And I'm Devin Jones, one of the hosts of the radio program God's Praises Tell. We hope you can join us during the last week in October for this historic celebration.
There will be an opening mass celebrated by Bishop Joseph Perry at St. Albie Church on Sunday afternoon, October 24th. During the week, there will be two revivals and even a youth and young adult evening, all featuring inspirational music and speakers.
And Cardinal Francis George will celebrate the closing mass on Sunday, October 31st at St. Jude the Apostle Church in South Holland. Go to www.blackcatholicchicago.org for the full schedule of events.
That's www.blackcatholicchicago.org. Come, help us celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Office for Black Catholics.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with Father Greg Sackowitz. It's Monday morning in Chicago. This is the fourth, right?
The Feast of St. Francis of Assisi. That is correct.
Feast of St. Francis.
How about sports for 100 now?
Because my watch is one day behind. I look, I'm like, wait a minute.
Minus two.
I was going to say this is the Feast of St. Francis, and my watch says it's the third. All right. We're talking this morning with internationally known author and motivational speaker Matthew Kelly, who is going to be presenting a day-long workshop at St. Mary of the Annunciation Parish. Matthew, I know that you've got a particular passion for reinvigorating the faith of Roman Catholics. Tell us how you came to working in that area. How did you develop this concern and the material that you have for trying to bring Catholics back to their faith?
Sure. I started speaking and writing when I was still in business school in Australia 19 years ago. And, you know, I make my living as a business consultant. A bunch of people don't know that. But I just had this passion for Catholicism. I think there is genius in Catholicism. I've been very fortunate in that there have been a number of just brilliant and holy priests and brilliant and holy lay people who have really helped me discover the genius of Catholicism. Throughout the course, mostly of my teenage years and early 20s, and I just can't fathom how misunderstood and how distorted modern culture's understanding of Catholicism is. And so, you know, I just am passionate about helping people discover the genius of Catholicism and how it's practical to their everyday lives. I think of Catholicism like an old treasure map, you know. I think a lot of people reject Catholicism just because it's old. But one of the metaphors I use for Catholicism is Catholicism's like an old treasure map, an ancient treasure map. But if you find a treasure map, you don't throw it away just because it's old. A treasure map has value based on whether or not it leads to treasure. And Catholicism is a really old treasure map, ancient, but it still leads to treasure. And I think that's what we've got to demonstrate to the people of our age. And we've got to do it in a way that is articulate and bold and intelligent and inspiring. And
can you name a couple of the aspects of that genius?
Well, I think every spiritual journey begins with some sort of confession, you know. And I think confession as a spiritual, psychological, emotional experience is absolutely phenomenal. You know, every single day, every single one of us, we do things that stop us from becoming the best version of ourselves, you know, that stop us from becoming all God created us to be. And then we carry all that stuff around with us. And the genius of confession is that, you know, God wants to help us become the best version of ourselves, and that he wants to give us an outlet, that he wants to give us a place to be healed, to be made whole, a place to grow. At the end of the day, nobody excels at anything without a coach. And most people don't have a spiritual coach. You know, in the last 40 years, 10 Summer Olympic Games, not a single athlete has come to the Olympics without a coach. Now, these are the best of the best at what they do, but they still value coaching. And so if you want to excel at a high level in anything, you need some sort of coaching, and I think that's just one aspect of the genius of confession.
Matthew, earlier you mentioned about how Catholicism has been so misunderstood in our culture. How so?
Well, I think too many people see it as sort of an ancient set of rules and regulations that have no relevance to their modern everyday lives. And I think they're to blame for that, and we're to blame for that. I think if you look at sort of the life and teachings of Jesus, or just in reading the gospel, Jesus doesn't preach at anybody until he heals them, until he feeds them, until he comforts them. He always dealt with people's very real human needs before he preached to them. And I think that in some ways we're failing to do that as Catholic communities. And the pain is different today. The pain is credit card debt. The pain is broken marriages. The pain is struggling
loss of jobs.
Unemployment, exactly. You know, and I think we're failing to really meaningfully speak into people's lives on those issues.
The thing is, you know, one thing you said that I find very interesting, and that is, with the Lord and Scripture and Catholicism, the Lord is a point of reference for our lives, and many, especially young people, are saying, it's not relevant. It's not relevant, because, and I think in some ways, we as a church have missed an opportunity, as you mentioned, but there is such a wealth of history and tradition, and the Lord, you know, we can say that God, I love you, and the Lord says, I love you more because I'm God. And so, no matter what we do, and I love that thing about the forgiveness, confession, reconciliation, and I always tell people with the sacrament reconciliation, God loves us and forgives us always. We have to be able to forgive ourselves. That's a part that people just sometimes can't let go of. They say, I know God loves me and God forgives me, but deep down, they will not forgive themselves. And the Lord says, let it go. I forgive you.
I'm excited by the fact, Matthew, that you name confession as the first item on your list of, you know, genius within the church. And unfortunately, it's probably the thing that's most neglected. Now, you and I get to talk about it. Father Greg actually gets to do it. He gets to hear people's confessions and forgive their sins. I'm intrigued by the fact that you mentioned you're a business consultant. Did you do that work before you began doing this faith-oriented ministry?
Side by side. So when I started speaking, my first speech in Australia was when I was in business school, and they used to have a business school student speak and then a CEO speak, and you got 20 minutes to give your perspective on life, business, and faith. And, you know, my comments got recorded, and they started getting passed around, you know, on little CDs, and people started inviting me places to speak. So that is essentially how both my ministry and my work as a business speaker and consultant began.
Now, that's interesting. So here you are in class as a business student giving that talk for 20 minutes, you and then a CEO. Yours gets recorded, starts getting passed around. So in some ways, Matthew, this ministry that you have developed internationally kind of started by accident.
Very much so. And I get emails all the time from people who say, you know, I want to do what you do. How do you start it? You know? And it's a very tough one to do because it wasn't intentional.
I mean, it's incredible. It's that great line that goes, life is what happened while I was making other plans.
Exactly.
Great. Life is what happened while I was making other plans.
What kind of business school invites someone to speak about his business philosophy, his life philosophy, and his faith?
Well, it was a faith group within the business school.
Okay.
And this was back in Australia.
Exactly.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950. The time is coming up on 9:19 here in Chicago on this beautiful Monday morning. Talking by Wednesday, it'd be 75. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Gratin Markeski. And our guest is international Catholic speaker Matthew Kelly. Our phone number, call him with maybe a question or comment for Matthew, 312-255-8408. We'll be back right after a break.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. You're listening to Relevant Radio AM 950. This is the radio voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. If you have a question for our guest this morning, Matthew Kelly, please give us a call at 312-255-8408. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with Father Greg Sakowitz. And on Saturday, October the 23rd, at St. Mary of the Annunciation Parish, Matthew Kelly is going to give a day-long workshop. It's an amazing opportunity that doesn't come around very often. Last year, he was here, and apparently it was such a success that they want him back again. 1,000-plus people attended that event, and you could be part of this one because hearing Matthew Kelly and the passion that he brings, the living faith that he expresses is truly inspiring. Matthew, when you mentioned a little while ago about how you got started in both your business career and your ministry, it made me think that maybe you need to add a fourth element to those voices. You talked about legit needs and deepest desires and talents and abilities, but it sounds like Providence was very much a part of yours as well, although clearly taking advantage of those talents and abilities that you had and setting a course for your life through them.
Absolutely, and you know, I think in a sort of self-aware, self-centered culture that we live in, we don't give anywhere near enough attention to Providence, and we don't slow down and listen enough to the signs and experiences of our lives to see where God might be in all of them. So I think you make a great point.
Let me ask you this, Matthew. When you were that student, and then you know, you were put on tape, and then it got circulated, and people started asking you, can you give a talk here, talk there? Did you jump on it, or were you saying, are you crazy? I don't have time for this. Or was that deepest part of you saying, I think my life is moving in a different direction?
It's interesting. Our capacity to deceive ourselves is enormous, you know, which sort of brings us back to that confession thing. Part of the reason why we need confession, and not just, oh, I'll confess to Jesus directly. Part of the reason why we need confession is because our capacity to deceive ourselves is enormous. As I look back, the direction of my life was clearly changing. My willingness or ability to acknowledge that was very, very limited. You know, so the first thing I did was I gave a few talks here and there based on invitations. I then remember sitting in the office with the dean, asking the dean to take a semester off school, 6 months off school. And the dean said fine, and that was good. But I remember believing in taking that 6 months off school that after that 6 months, I would go back and fully commit myself to a life in business and marketing. You know, and so the deception was monumental. Even today, I only spend 4 days a month working as a business consultant. I spend the rest of my month working in the ministry, and so it just sort of gradually happened. There wasn't a point where I said, this is going to be my life. And it was probably 5 years later that I looked back and said, gee, my life really didn't go in the direction I had planned.
That's probably a good thing, because it went in the direction God had planned.
Exactly.
Yeah. Matthew, let's make you the director of evangelization for the Archdiocese of Chicago for 5 minutes. If you're trying to attract Catholics back to their faith, you know, those who are nominal Catholics but not practicing, what's one or two things that you would do to help people recognize the treasure that they're ignoring?
Well, let's put context to it, and let's remind people that the tide on Catholicism in America is going out, okay, and business as usual isn't going to turn the tide. So we need to start thinking in terms of game changers. What's a game changer for the Archdiocese of Chicago? What's a game changer for the Catholic Church in America? Because I think we need that sort of boldness if we're really going to do something. My foundation made copies of my book, Rediscovering Catholicism, available to parishes last Christmas, $2 a copy, just a paperback version. And the idea was that they would give them out to everyone who attended Christmas Mass, and because 32% of people who attend Christmas Mass, it's the only time of year they go to church.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And about 300,000 copies were given out in 100 parishes or so. And I've been amazed how many people come back to the church just through getting a book. So, when people are there, let's not let them go home empty-handed. And this year we're doing it with another book, written by Alan Hunt. I don't know if you're aware of Alan Hunt, but he was a pastor of a mega church in Atlanta, became Catholic a couple of years ago. I encouraged him to write a book, which is called Confessions of a Mega Church Pastor, and it's the story of why and how he became Catholic, and we're making that available to churches this year.
Now, spell his last name. Did you say it was Alan Hunt?
Yes, Alan Hunt.
So H-U-N-T.
Exactly.
And the name of the book again, Matthew?
Confessions of a Mega Church Pastor.
Okay.
So in a culture where Catholics, probably in just about any city in the country now, the biggest Catholic church is now an evangelical megachurch. There are more Catholics attending an evangelical megachurch in most cities in this country than any Catholic church. And 51% of evangelical churches are former Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to do something about that. We've got to turn that tide. So I think we become hypnotized by complexity. I think simple things can be a game changer. Another thing I talk to people about is a Mass journal. So bring in a journal to Mass, come into Mass with a little journal and writing down the one thing that God wants you to work on this week. Because I think until we learn to listen to the voice of God in our lives, our ability to absorb anything else is very limited.
It's very interesting you say that, because Bishop Ken Utner from Saginaw, Michigan, before he passed away, he gave a mission at where I used to be, at St. Mary of the Woods in Edgebrook, and he said, Utner said this about 10 years ago, he said, I'm convinced that at every liturgy, be it weekday or weekend, that at Mass, there's a word, a phrase, a sentence, carved or crafted just for you, be it a word from Scripture, a response from a song, part of the homily. But Bishop Utner said that if we come with an open heart and ear, that he is convinced that every liturgy there's a word, phrase, or sentence carved or crafted just for you, that what may hit Gratz may not hit you, Matthew, what hits me may hit neither of you, but that's a voice of God speaking to us, and then to take that word or phrase or sentence and build upon it for that week as part of your journey, because the Lord speaks to our heart through liturgy, which is, my God, the apex to the gather the community, and the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the one cup, the body and blood of Christ, and have the Word of God broken open. We need to bring today's first half to a close, but I want to say that seating is limited and registration required prior to the event in order to attend Matthew Kelly's big event on Saturday, October 23rd. And a little information about it is, registrations are accepted online at www.events.org/passionpurposelive. And the phone number might be easier, 847-223-0010, 847-223-0010. Matthew Kelly, thank you for sharing this time with us this first half hour. You're doing truly God's work, God's blessings upon your ministry. And I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi, here on Relevant Radio 950, Catholic Community Faith. Time coming up on 9:30 on this Monday morning. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Coming soon to a church near you, the revised edition of the Roman Missal. We'll talk to Cardinal George about the changes. Hundreds of couples celebrate 50 years of marriage. We'll take you to the Golden Jubilee Mass, and we'll visit Chicago's lakefront, the site of simultaneous prayer services calling for an end to violence in our neighborhoods.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Time in Chicago is 9:32 on this beautiful Monday morning, St. Francis of Assisi on October 4th. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with co-host Graziano Marcheschi. And with us in studio, we have Amy Kendall Lynch, Program Director of Crisis Nursery, a Maryville Academy facility located on the northwest side of Chicago. They offer what she calls a preventative program for children 6 years of age and younger in Cook and Lake Counties. Amy, welcome to the program this morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you. And listen, tell us something about what does it mean, this whole crisis nursery connected with Maryville Academy?
Sure. This is a program designed for families in the Cook and Lake Counties that can use the crisis nursery for us to care for their children ages 6 and under. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, when families are dealing with some type of crisis or to prevent a crisis. We've been open for 4 years now, and the idea really is that we want to help families before things get out of control and find a safe place for children so that way the family can work on the things that they need to do.
So in reading between the lines, would it be safe to assume a couple is undergoing a great deal of stress? Maybe there's, you know, the marriage is floundering in some ways. They need just to decompress. They need some time off. They have no family support. They've got a little child. They can come to you and say, we really need a break. And you'll take the child for up to 3 days?
Correct.
And give them that opportunity to reduce the stress and come back to a sense of balance. So you're doing this as a way of, A, protecting the child, but also helping to protect the marriage and assist the parents.
Absolutely. We, a couple of years ago, had a family that lived actually in Cicero, where it was a couple with four children, and the mother was dealing with postpartum depression, and the father was working full-time, and just the pressures of caring for your family, and they had little family support at that time. And so they reached out to the crisis nursery, and we cared for their children for a couple days.
So you took all four children for 3 days and gave mom and dad a chance for some downtime alone.
Correct. The idea here is that I myself have three children and have a wonderful husband and family who can help and support as I work and do things and function. However, not a lot of families may have that family support or their community or may not be connected to community resources. I've always said that everyone who has children has a crisis nursery in their life. They just call it grandma or auntie or, you know, the wonderful neighbor next door to you. And so what, in essence, what we're trying to do is provide that support. Families can use us 30 times in a year, and it could be for very positive things. We've had, you know, single moms raising their children where they finally get accepted into college and are trying to work through that process. And so for them to be successful, there may be a day or two that they need to get the responsibilities done that they have to do for school. And if they don't have anybody to care for their children, perhaps the child would stay with the crisis nursery so that way they don't have the responsibility of the children so they can have a positive outcome with
Amy,
what they're trying to do.
Amy, how did this begin? You said 4 years ago. Is this your creation? Did you begin this whole program 4 years ago?
Well,
with Maryville?
Well, Maryville did. The idea here was that Maryville really was looking to provide services for families. And there are other nurseries in the state of Illinois. And so we looked at that model of care. This is also a national model that you'll find in other states, but the idea is there is nothing like this in the city of Chicago where you can call 24/7, 365 days a year when there's an emergency. If something happens, you know, on Christmas or on a Sunday night and, you know, there's an emergency surgery or something like that, you could call upon the crisis nursery. In fact, even this weekend we had a father who called who has four children. His wife unexpectedly was rushed to the emergency room, and so he was calling upon us to help in that situation with the children. As we know, when families deal with a situation like that, people come together. And so our idea is that we may be part of that puzzle to help them through that situation. And if you come to the nursery, it's a beautiful environment for the children to play. We have staff who are going to engage with the children. So that way, the idea is that the families don't have to worry about their children while they're dealing with other things, just as if any family has their children with another family member.
You know, in the previous segment, Matthew Kelly talked about some of the woundedness of today, you know, the credit card debt and the loss of a job. But one of them, I think, is not having family. And it's not just the poor who don't have family support. Sometimes very middle-class people have moved to Chicago from elsewhere, and they have no one but their spouse. And I could never, you know, have raised my children without the support of family. So to think that there are many, many families who have absolutely no one and who may not even have
and
that
Gratz,
helpful neighbor.
I think it's more than we sometimes realize. Mm-hmm. I have dealt with many families when I was both in Schaumburg and St. Mary of the Woods and now at St. Mary's, where Gratz, you hit it right on the head. A job change brings you to Chicago, brings you to Schaumburg, brings you to Evanston, whatever it is. And the whole family is back in Los Angeles, back in Houston, back in New York. And when there's a crisis, they have no one to turn to. Amy, what is the capacity at the crisis nursery?
Well, currently we are taking up to 8 children at a time. We are licensed up to 15 children. However, you know, we're working really hard. Thankfully, we're on your show today and doing other activities to help spread the word about the nursery, because really what we're trying to do is let families know about us so that way they're going to utilize us and really share this with practitioners and other social workers who are here to spread the word.
Yeah. I was going to ask, how do people even know? Because this is the first I've heard about it. So I can't imagine that someone in the midst of crisis would even have the presence of mind to think, oh, I'll check with Catholic Charities, see if they could help me out. So I'm glad we're helping to spread that word. We're going to go to a short break, and when we return, we'll continue this conversation about this very important ministry and resource within the Archdiocese. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Cardinal George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. The time in Chicago is coming up on 9:42 on this Monday morning in Chicago. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. And Father Greg Sack was along with Graziano Marcheschi and our guest, Amy Kendall Lynch, Program Director of Crisis Nursery, a Maryville Academy facility located on the northwest side of Chicago. They offer what she calls a preventative program for children 6 years of age and younger in Cook and Lake Counties. Amy, give us a phone number if someone were in crisis right now and needs help with their child or children. They need a few days just to kind of maybe sort issues out in their life. Give us a phone number right now.
Sure. The phone number to reach the crisis nursery is area code 773-205-3637.
The number once again.
773-205-3637.
Do you have a web?
Yes. The Crisis Nursery's website is www.maryvilleacademy.org, which highlights the Crisis Nursery along with all the other programs that Maryville Academy runs both in the city and in the suburban areas.
Now, say something about the volunteers that are needed.
Sure. We provide support to our child care staff by also having volunteers who help directly with the children. And that's really critical because we are open 24/7. Our children come in at different times. And because of the day-to-day care of the children, having those extra hands to take care of the children with us is really important. And so we're looking for support from volunteers. Ideally, we're looking for people who can, commit to us, at least once a week if possible, and be able to come at a regular time. They have to go through the same background check and physical just like any employee at Maryville. So it is a commitment on the person's time to be able to do all of that because we just want to make sure that the people who are around our children are safe and reliable and, support our mission.
And during the break, we were talking about some of the reasons why people make use of your ministry. So in addition to getting this break and in times of great stress, you talked about someone may need to go on a job interview and have nowhere to leave their children, or someone may need to schedule surgery and they don't know how they can even go into the hospital because there's no one to be able to stay home and watch the kids. Are there any other kinds of crisis times when people make use of your help?
Well, what we find is that medical reasons, parental stress, and job and school issues are our top three reasons. However, other reasons might be a mental health issue where someone's really struggling with some immediate mental health issues that are going on, and perhaps the family is trying to support that parent. And so in that case, we might take care of the children. Another example might be somebody who might be involved in a domestic violence situation, and they need to go to court, or they're processing how they're going to handle that situation with the police. And so our idea here is, let's take care of the children, remove them from those conversations and sort of the stress of that, and let them have fun at the nursery while the parent is a little bit more successful and gets the support that they need during that situation.
You know, it strikes me that you're doing a great deal of good that you will never know, because it's a preventative kind of effort. So you'll never know the child abuse that you're preventing. You'll never know the deaths that you might have prevented, because sometimes, you know, a parent doesn't get up in the morning knowing that they're going to smack their kid and put them in the hospital because they might snap in the middle of some situation that your services might prevent.
And the thing is, in Graz, we live in a society today, you know, no one's going to tell me the economy is getting better. Things are not getting better. The stress in people's lives economically, spiritually, and plus you had the component of raising children, the demands of that, and when there's a loss of a job, when the marriage, the wheels are coming off the car. Now, in the work you do, Amy, in the 4 years, what has surprised you the most?
What has surprised me the most?
I don't mean to get you with a surprise question.
No, but, that's a great question. I think that because this program, it almost sounds too good to be true, that we've really had to work hard to let people know about the nursery. Mm. Once they experience it, you know, the blessing is our families who tell other families. But, you know, living in the city of Chicago and all the resources that are here, you know, there's a lot of hard work that goes into telling the social workers and telling the schools and letting the parishes know, and really getting them to understand what we do and that there's no alternative motive other than we're really here to help you. And as a parent myself, you want to be mindful of the trust issue that you really need to develop with a parent, so that way they feel comfortable leaving their children with us. And we work really hard on encouraging people to come and see the nursery. And in fact, this coming Thursday, we're having an open house for the community to come and see the nursery, so that way they get to see what type of resources we have, because it's not only about the crisis care of the children, but it's also giving them the appropriate resources through other programs, through Catholic Charities and other organizations. And we also have baby talk classes, which are parent education classes for families once a month, because we all need that type of support, and it just depends on what's going on with that family and what they need.
You need to get some bulletin, parish bulletin announcements out there.
Well, know? we're going to work on that. There's a lot of different avenues to do that, and in fact, one of our current advisory board members, when we first opened, we had it in the church bulletin, and she came to our open house because of that. So there are ways that we're trying to inundate the different...
Because even if the people who need the service don't see the ad, someone else might be able to tell them about it.
Absolutely.
You know? But see, Amy, in the work you do, there are so many facets, and we're just day in and day out taking the phone calls, overseeing the whole operation, and they have to add a whole thing called marketing. This is where you need people to come in and to be able to help and to assist you. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, along with Grazia Markeski. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. And our guest this last half hour, Amy Kendall Lynch, Program Director of Crisis Nursery, connected with Maryville Academy. It's a facility located on the northwest side of Chicago. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Hello, I'm Lisa Pilato, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute. 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. The 4th Annual Charities Royale Casino Night and Silent Auction will take place on Saturday, November 13th at the beautiful St. Ignatius College Prep. We have an A-list lineup with live music by Underwater People, delicious food by Cafe Bianda, cupcakes by Amy Beck Cake Design, an incredible lineup of silent auction items including a week's stay in the Bahamas, open bar featuring Mad Crack energy drink and Svedka vodka, casino gaming, raffle prizes, and much more. Tickets are only $75 and are on sale now at catholiccharities.net/casino night. This black tie optional event is open to anyone over the age of 21, so grab your friends and game with us for a great cause. Proceeds will benefit the Catholic Charities Emergency Assistance Programs, providing food, clothing, and shelter to the poorest of the poor in Cook and Lake counties. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. For details, call 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net. And stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
God bless you, and Christ's peace be with you. This is Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Office for Black Catholics is a vital and integral part of the Catholic worship community here in Chicago. Our agency serves people of color, encompassing African American, Haitian, African, Afro-Latino, and Caribbean natives. Contact us and learn how to enhance your neighborhoods, your families, and your faith through various initiatives and events designed to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our office is located in the Cardinal Meyer Center at 35th and Lake Park Avenue. Call us at 312-534-8376 or visit our ever-changing website at www.blackcatholicchicago.org. We look forward to serving you and your communities.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950. The time is 9:51 in Chicago on this Monday morning. Father Greg Sack was along with Grazia Marcheschi, and our guest is Amy Kendall Lynch, Program Director of Crisis Nursery, connected with Maryville Academy. Amy, maybe give us one or two myths that people may jump to a conclusion with a crisis nursery is or is not. For give me one example, that the crisis nursery, every phone call you get is from the inner city poor that doesn't affect middle class or upper middle class. I'm assuming that's a myth.
That is a myth. I mean, primarily what we find is that families are coming from the city who are in disadvantaged situations, who really don't have anybody. However, we are finding that families who are your middle class families who the nature of life now is that your family members can't maybe support you because everybody in the family is working. And so I think that's really critical, where I tell families, you know, it's my mom who doesn't want me to use the nursery. And so I'm always encouraging parents to let their other family members know, let grandma come and see the nursery, or let the auntie come and see the nursery, who might be a little bit more hesitant, and understandably so, but I'm always encouraging them to come so that way they get a better sense of this. We've had grandmothers use the crisis nursery because they themselves are caring for the children for different reasons. Like the example I gave earlier, a mental health issue, we have had a grandmother who's used us who is trying to raise her grandchildren, and it's very difficult because she has some health issues herself, and we're always encouraging her to take care of herself so, of course, she can take care of her children. So we really feel that asking for help is a sign of strength, and that's really hard for anybody who is vulnerable to pick up the phone and say, you know what, I need some support on this right now, particularly when they don't know us. It's their first time using us. Yesterday, had a call from a nurse from Northwestern Hospital who had a mother there who was saying that she didn't want to get medical care because she didn't have anybody to take care of her children. So it was neat to see that a nurse was able to have that resource available and let that mother know about it. In fact, another hospital had called us on Friday who has an employee who was struggling because of her current situation, and they know about the crisis nursery, and she was able to utilize us. So it's interesting to me how it is being generated through the different programs that we've been trying to outreach with the hospital, the police, different social service agencies, that it isn't always the family who's living in the shelter, although that is an option for families to use us to help them. However, it could be, you know, your family down the street who wasn't expecting something to happen. Or we had a couple who was about to have a baby and didn't have the resources to take care of their other child because, your example earlier, they came from out of state and they're connected to a university, but they just didn't have that support at that time. So there's a wide range of various situations that, you know, immigrant families are coming here to Chicago and things happen and then they're really isolated. And what we're really trying to do is not only get them to use the nursery, but connect them to the community resources that they do have, because that's only going to strengthen them in what they're trying to do.
What do you do to make sure that people don't take advantage of the service?
Well, that's a great question. Our family advocates are there to talk with the family when they call and ask them why they're using the nursery. It's important that we prioritize the usage of the nursery so that way the most critical needs are being met first. And so we go through a series of questions, not only about the family, but the children, to make sure that they meet our eligibility requirements. And then when the family does come in, we sit down and we set up goals with them. So that way they're held accountable to when they come in. And then we also check in with them when they come back to make sure that this has been helpful to them. And if there was ever a concern that we doubted that intention, then we would, you know, request documentation and things like that. And we have done that to make sure that families realize that when they really need us, they want to make sure that they're also helping other families. And in most cases, it has worked out well.
I wonder, Amy, how many families have failed to give you a call and the crisis nursery because they feel that if they call, they are tremendous failures as individuals, as parents, that we can't raise our own child or children. And we were such terrible failures that we have to call the crisis nursery. So I'm sure with some of this, you have to help people overcome that it's not at all, but that we go through different times in our life where things become overwhelming. And whenever I hear the word overwhelmed, it means I feel like I'm out of control. I'm overwhelmed. I'm out of control. I need help. And they're not a failure.
Well, absolutely. That's another barrier that we're constantly addressing with our families. When you think about it historically, when women have children, they're embraced by other women around them and, you know, well taken care of, and the family pulls in. And so when that's not there, it's not a sign of being a bad parent. In fact, anyone who's a parent is reaching out to support probably on a daily basis from teachers or friends, and we don't really call it that because it's just naturally how we interact. And so we're really trying to educate our families who utilize us that in that ask of help, they're really strengthening themselves as a parent, so that way they're more available, because our children obviously are our future, and you really want to be able to give them what they need to flourish and grow.
We are just about out of time, Amy. Please give us a phone number for people to give you a call if they're in that very need at this moment.
Sure. Area code 773-205-3637.
That number once again.
773-205-3637.
And the web.
www.maryvilleacademy.org.
I want to thank in a very special way Amy Kendall Lynch, Program Director of Crisis Nursery, Maryville Academy facility, located on the northwest side of Chicago. And that's also the call that number to be a volunteer. I want to thank in a very special way not only Amy, but the co-host, Grazia Marcheschi. And Graz, our prayers with you as you begin your new ministry in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Thank you, Greg.
You'll be terrific. You know, you're so well known and loved by so many, and you're a gift from Chicago, the Archdiocese. Special thank you to our wonderful producer, Jim Dish, for another great program, and excellent engineer, Michael May, for their great work. To all of our listeners, may God bless you. And this on the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is the sadness, joy. Amen.
Amen.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.